What may be significant is what immediately precedes the Haftarah. Because here, I agree with the Yisachar Jacobson, one of the people who wrote about the Haftarot, that there's a great similarity between the Sedra and the Haftarah, not in what's written in it, but what precedes it. The parasha is preceded by the whole story, the sordid, terrible story of what happens on the plains of Moab. Jews begin to go after the daughters of Midian. There is an epidemic. 24,000 are killed. Leaders of the Jewish people, the Rebbeinu tells Moshe to hang them from the trees. It's a terrible, terrible fall of the Jewish people. And it's led by Zimri ben Salu, who is one of the officers of the tribe of Shimon. One part of the story is the beginning of this week's Seder, beginning of Parshas Pinchas. That Pinchas is the one who goes into the tent and he runs through Zimri ben Salu and Cosby Basur. So the whole story is the parsha before. Its culmination is this week's Seder. And of course God says that there's great blessing to Pinchas bikano et kinati, because he served my zealousness. He's the one, because of his act, that under normal circumstances, or under any circumstances, would be called an act of violence, ultimate alimut. He has killed two people. But his killing of those two people, God says, this has diminish the anger of God, and hinini notein lo, I give unto him et birchati shalom, my blessing of peace. And not only that, and I give to him and his children kohuna, they will be priests lo olam v'ed, for all time. The Haftorah comes immediately after the great story. I believe we learned it this year. It was the Haftorah of Parashat Ki Tisa, Eliyahu on Mount Carmel, with the 800 prophets of Baal, the great contest. Im Hashem hu alakim, if God is God, lechu acharav. V'im ha-Baal, and if Baal is God, lechu acharav. And then ultimately at Mincha time, the fire comes down from heaven upon the sacrifice of Elio Hanavi, and there's a people cry out, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim, God is the God of the Jewish people. He kills the Nevi'e HaBaal, he kills the prophets of the Baal. And then, of course, he had decreed that there would be no rain, and he sends his boy out. They're standing on Har HaCarmel, and they're looking out toward the sea. Until finally his boy comes, and he says, there's a little cloud as large as the palm of one's hand. So he says, let's go. Before it rains, it's going to pour. Anyway, Achav, king of Israel, makes his way back to from Haifa across Emek Yisrael. The Haftorah begins with V'yada Hashem Haytayel Eliyahu, the hand of God was upon an Eliyahu, Vayushames Matnav. So he girded his loins, Vayorot Zufnei Achav, Ad Barach Yisraelo. He ran. Do you understand? Achav is on his chariot, and Eliyahu is running by foot, and he runs all the way to Yisrael. Chazal say the reason why he did this was to show kavod, ana l'malchus Yisrael, because he felt that Achav is in the process of doing tshuva after he has seen the magnificence of Har HaCarmel, direct from heaven, that there's somebody to work with here. Vayagid Achav liYisevel, Achav tells Yisevel, et kol asher osel Eliyahu, everything that Eliyahu did, et kol asher horag et kol hanaviyim bechorav, and that he killed all the prophets by the sword. Vatishlach Yisevel malach el Eliyahu lemor, Yisevel sends a messenger to Eliyahu saying, ko yasun elokim v'ko yosifun, so shall God do, and add to you kikait macha, tomorrow
This time tomorrow, I'll simet nafshecha kenefesh achad mehem.
You're going to be as dead as they are. You understand? Isabel is totally unmoved by all that has happened. She says she's going to kill Eliyahu Hanavi.
Vayar,
and he saw, and it's correct, the translation is correct, he saw the danger. He saw that he is indeed in danger. So you're going to say, Eliyahu, what's Eliyahu afraid of, you understand? Eliyahu has existed for forever throughout all of history. But no. When there is clear and present danger, you know, there are places where even angels fear to tread, right? Fear to tread. Eliyahu knows that it's his responsibility to get out of danger's way. So he saw, he got up, and he went El Nafsho for his life. Vayavo Be'er Sheva, he came to Be'er Sheva, Asher LeYehuda, which is in Yehuda. Vayanach Et Naro Sham, he left his boy there. Now, he assumes that if he's in Yehuda, Achav is king of Yisrael. He is in Yehuda, that he is relatively safe there, but then he thinks the better of it, and he continues traveling. He went into the desert south of Beersheba, one day's journey. And he sat down under a rotem tree. That's the word I forgot to look up this morning. What's a rotem in a broom tree? Broom. The translator over here didn't want to take a chance, so they translated as a rosem bush. I think it's the first time in my life I ever said rosem. It's a rotem. We had one growing on our porch once. I don't know what happened to it, right? Didn't we have a rotem on the porch? Okay. We did not have a rosem on the porch. Okay? So here he is. He makes his way into the desert, and he sits down. It seems it gives a lot of shade. It gives a lot of shade, especially the desert. And he wants to die. He asks God that he should die. And he said, Rav, it's enough. Rabesh, it's enough. Ato Hashem, now God, kach navshi, take my life. Ki lo tov anochi me avotai, I'm no better than my fathers. There was a sense of awesome frustration and depression that overcomes Eliyahu. Here it was, one of the greatest moments of all. Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. Aneinu Rabbeinu Shalom, answer us the way you answered Eliyahu at Har HaKarmel. It's the peak of his career. He has brought the people to cry out, Hashem Hu Elokim. And 48 hours later, he's a fugitive. He's a fugitive from the law. And what's fascinating, of course, is he had no difficulty making his way down south. Not everybody can make their way down south when they want to go. He made it down there. In 50 years from now, when they listen to the tape of this year, will they have any idea what I was saying? He makes it down one day into the desert and he wants to die. Interesting. There are two other people who want to die. Huh? Yonah. And do you know who brought Yonah back to life after he had died as a child? One of the dead that Eliyahu brought back to life was Yonah Hanavi. Somebody else wanted to die. Moshe. In Parashat Baalotcha, if the Jews are complaining on the way into Eretz Yisrael that they need steak and French fries, it's impossible, he can't take it. I mean, we're on a major march over here. And he feels this, the fall of the Jewish people. He says, I can't do it anymore. I'm incapable of leading this people. Hargeni noharo, God, kill me. We're going to see. I'm saying it now, even though I hope we'll get to the Medrash, where the Medrash lists, I don't know, 15, 20 similarities between Moshe and Eliyahu. And by the way, we're going to see right away, do you know where Eliyahu ends up? At Chorev, the mountain of God. The mountain where Moshe was in a cave and the divine presence passed before him. It's going to be a repeat of Moshe Rabbeinu. Watch. Vayishkav, he lay down to Vayishan and he slept tachas rotem echad. Under the rotem he sleeps, and behold, there's an angel touching him. Vayomelo, and the angel told him, "Kum echol, get up and eat." Vayabet, and he looked. Vihinei da ashotav, and there by his head is ugat ritzafim v'tzapachat mayim. Ugat an uga, we know what an uga is, a cake of some sort, ritzafim, baked on coal, and tzapachat mayim, a container of water. Vayochal vayesht, he ate and he drank. Vayoshov vayishkav, went back to lie down. Vayoshov malach Hashem, sheinis vayigabo, the angel of God came and touched him again, and he said, "Kum echol, get up and eat, ki rav mimcho haderech, because there's a long road ahead of you now." Vayokom vayochal, he got up and he ate. Vayisht, and he drank. Vayelech b'korach ha'achila ha'hi arboim yom v'arboim leila. He marches for 40 days and 40 nights by the strength of that eating. Does this also sound like Moshe Rabbeinu? 40 days and 40 nights. Ad? Where? Until he arrives at Har Elokim Chorev, the mountain of God. Chorev, Sinai. Where does God appear to Moshe Rabbeinu for the first time? When he goes with the sheep of Yitro out to Har Elokim Chorevah. There's a lot of mystery over here. We're not going to be able to make our way through the mystery, but there are messages that we're going to get out of this. Vayavo Shom El Hamma'ara, he came there to the cave. The cave. As I said, that cave is the cave that in Parashat Kitisa, Moshe Rabbeinu is in the cave, and the divine presence passes before him. God placed him benikrat hatsur. There was just a little bit of an opening from the cave, so that he's not exposed to the full brilliance of the divine presence. V'nei dvar Hashem elav, and behold, the word of God comes to Mayom Elo. Malacho po Elio. Elio, what are you doing here? Unbelievable dialogue is going to take place. What are you doing here? Malacho po Elio. Vayom, and he said, Kano kineti Lashem Elokei Tzakot, I was very zealous for God, the God of hosts. Ki ozvu britcha b'nei Yisrael, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. Et mizbecho techo harosu, they shattered your altars. Vet nevi'echo hargu b'chorev, and your prophets they killed by the sword. Vo'ivater ani levadi, I alone have remained. And me, the only one who remains, vayivakshu et nafshi lekachta, they seek my life, to take my life. Vayomer, so God says to him, Tzev amadato b'hor lefnei Hashem, go out and stand on the mountain before God. V'hinei Hashem over, this is one of the great psukim in all of Tanakh. V'hinei over Hashem, v'hinei Hashem over, and God is passing by. V'ruach gedolah, there's a great wind, v'chozok mighty, neforek harim, umishaber slayim, an awesome wind. That's mefarek harim, that smashes mountains. Umishaber slayim, and breaks great rocks. Lifnei Hashem. Awesome, awesome wind. Lo baruach Hashem. God is not in the wind. Va'achar haruach, and after the wind there's rash. Terrible, terrible sounds. Lo barash Hashem. God is not in the midst of all of that noise. V'achar harash eish, and after the terrible noise comes the great fire. And lo ba'esh Hashem. God is not in the fire. V'achar ha'esh, and after the fire, kol demama daka. A still, thin sound. Kol demama. By the way, that's an oxymoron. kol means a sound. Demoma, silent. Sounds of silence. Oxymoron, thin.
Vayehi kishmoa Eliyahu. When Eliyahu heard this,
you know, it's fascinating. I think it's when he hears the sound that he can't even hear. It's not when he heard the terrible, frightening noise. It's now.
Now, Vayolet Ponov Ba'adarto, he covered his face with his cloak, Vayetze Vayamod Petach Hamara, and he went out and he stood at the opening to the cave, Vihine Elov Kol, and behold, a voice is coming to him,
Vayome, and the voice says, Malcho Po Elio, same question as before, what are you doing here, Elio? What are you doing here? Vayomer, his answer, precisely the same.
Kano ki neitil Hashem l'keit zakot, I've been zealous for the God of hosts. Ki ozu b'zcho b'nei Yisrael, because your children Israel have forsaken your covenant. Et mizbachotecho harosu, they have shattered your altars. Et v'yecho hargu b'chorab, and your prophets they killed by the sword. V'yivater ani levadi, I alone have remained.
V'yivakshu et nafshi l'kachta, and they want to take my life.
We're going to
have to get into the Midrashim right away. What's the meaning of this conversation? What took place of it? What kind of dialogue is this? What is its meaning? And now God's response is going to be,
Vayomer Elav Hashem, Hashem Elav, God said, Tim Leich Shuv Ledar Kachom Midbaro Damasek.
He's telling him to go north. Go all the way back to the desert of Damascus.
Uvatan, you should come to Damascus. Umashachtan, you should anoint Chazoel Lemelech Alaham.
Chazoel, who is the commander-in-chief of the forces of Ben-Hadad. Now understand, Eliyahu is going to anoint the king of Aram.
That Yehu ben Nimshi Timshach Lemelech Al Yisrael.
Yehu ben Nimshi, you shall anoint as king over Israel.
But Elisha ben Shofat, may Ovel Mechola,
Elisha the son of Shofat, from Ovel Mechola, Tim Shachle Navi Tachtecha, you shall anoint him as a prophet in your place.
V'hoyan, it will come to pass, Hanimlat Mecherev HaChazael, Yamit Yehu, whoever is going to flee from the sword of Chazael, will be killed by Yehu. V'hanimlat Mecherev Yehu, Yamit Elisha, the one who will flee from the sword of Yehu will be put to death by Elisha.
He's really describing the end of the house of Achav. The house of Achav and Ezevel is going to come to an end. Part of them will be destroyed by Hazael, the king of Aram. The rest, Yehu ben Nimshe, is going to rebel, and he's going to wrest the kingdom from Achav, and Achav is going to die in battle. A lone archer is going to shoot an arrow, and the arrow is going to make its way straight through the metal armor, right in between one of the folds in the armor, and Achav dies. That archer was Naaman, who later became the commander-in-chief of the forces of Aram. So Hazael is going to bring down Achav, Yehu is going to bring down Ezevel and the rest of the house, and then whoever is left will be put to death by Elisha.
V'ish'arati b'Yisrael, and I'm going to leave in Israel 7,000 kol abir kari mashalo karu labal, all the knees that did not bow down to Baal, the chol apeh shalo nashaklo, and any mouth that has not kissed the Baal.
V'yelech misham, Elio goes from there, from the desert. He's now moving northward.
V'yimtzot Elisha ben Shofat, he found Elisha ben Shofat v'hu choresh, and he was out plowing. Shneim asort smadim lefanav, there were 12 spans of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. V'hu b'shneim asor, v'yavar Elio elav, and Elio came over to him, v'yashlech adar to elav, and he threw his cloak to him.
That's not the first time he's going to throw his cloak to Elisha. When the great day is going to come, that Elisha is going to be taken heavenward, Elio is going to be taken heavenward. Elisha is the one who asks him, I want to have a double portion of your holiness and your prophecy. So he says, if you see me being taken and you catch my coat, you will have it. And as the chariots come to take Elio heavenward, he throws down his cloak and Elisha grabs it. Vayazov et habakar, Elisha left the cattle, vayoretz achrei Elio, and he ran after Elio. Vayomer, he said, Eshokon ola avi uleimi, I'm going to kiss my father and my mother, ve'elcha acharecha, and I'm going to follow you. Vayomer lo, and he told him, Leich shuv, go back. What he means over here, according to many of the Mefarshim, is yes, go kiss your mother and father goodbye. Ki me'ositi lach, I'm not doing anything to stop you from doing that. Vayoshev me'acharov, he went back. Vayikach et semet abokor, he took the oxen. Vayizbecheu, when he brought them as a sacrifice. Ubechlei habokor bishlom habasar, and with the implements of the oxen, he cooked the meat. Vayitin lom, and he gave to the people, and they ate. Vayokom vayelech acharei Elio, and he got up and he went after Elio. Vayishor sehu, and he served him. End of Haftarah. All right. Okay, what's it have to do with the Sedra? Yes?
What I don't understand is that Eliyahu says to God that the people have gone away from you, and they've raised their altar, they've killed the prophets, and I don't want to remain, and they can keep my soul to stay here. I would have expected God to say, oh, don't worry, I'm going to be with you, you know, like some kind of a word of consolation. But that's disregarded, and he says, you know, this is what
you can do. The Medrash is going to say that's not what Elio should have said. Do you know what Elio should have said? Rabbeinu Shalom, they're your children. They're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Do you know what Elio is doing here? Elio is condemning the Jewish people. And do you know what God is going to say to him in the Medrash? I don't like people that speak dilatoria al banai. I don't like those who speak lashon hara. By the way, do you know why Eliyahu is present at every bris? Every day he comes back heavenward, and the Rebbe Shalom asks him, "Lo Eliyahu, ozvu et briti bnei Yisrael, have forsaken the covenant? How many brisin were you at today?" Gershom doesn't want somebody to speak that way. The Medrash brings it, and then the Rambam says it. The list of great people in Tanakh who spoke ill of the Jewish people were immediately punished. Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare says, Hein lo yaminu li, they're not going to believe me. V'lo yishmu b'koli, they're not going to listen to my voice. Ki yomru, because they're going to say, Lo niroi lech Hashem, God didn't appear to you. God tells him, put your hand into your cloak. And he takes it out, and it's white with tzaras. Don't speak ill of my people. Don't tell me they're not going to listen. Don't tell me they're not going to believe. And Elio makes... I mean, we're talking on Eliyahu's level. He makes the mistake twice. The Medrash says, Yeshayahu refers to the people of Yerushalayim as Sodom and Amorah. And Amalek goes flying over to him with a coal in his hand, and he puts it on his lips. With this, I've kashed you out. Like you using Ajax when a kid said something he shouldn't say. Clean your mouth. You have to be careful when you speak about Klal Yisrael. You have to be careful when you speak about Klal Yisrael. Some years ago I gave a shiur where I elaborated on a Meshech Chachma who said the two worst levels of Lashon Hara are one. When a person speaks Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. Now, you speak Lashon Hara about Chaim or Leah or Yankel or somebody, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. But when you talk about a community or a whole group of people or about Klal Yisrael, that's terrible. That's terrible. But there's one Lashon Hara that's even worse than that. the very worst or the lowest level of Lashon Hara is when you speak Lashon Hara about the Jewish people to the nations of the world. There is nothing, nothing lower than that. Nothing lower than that. All right, I'll say it. I try to control myself and I'm incapable of controlling myself. The great chet of our generation is that there are many amongst us who've been saying for the last 37 years, we're occupiers and we're conquerors. We stole the land. That's Lashon Hara on Klal Yisrael that's never forgiven. We're not people who've stolen land. We're not occupiers. I said, Mishul, this Be'er Shabbos, even the first Rashi could not have imagined. You know what Rashi could imagine? That the nations of the world will say, listen, Matem, you are thieves that you stole Eretz Yisrael. Rashi could never have imagined that we'd be walking around saying, hey, listen, Anachnu, we're thieves. We stole Eretz Yisrael. It's not only rishus, it's gross stupidity. Because if we would say that it belongs to us and say it day and night, and then even if a government of Israel decides to remove Jews from Gush Katif, at least they can tell the world, yes, we're giving up our own and native land. That's not how the world looks at it. You've been a bunch of gadnovim here for 37 years. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Get out! So what have we accomplished? The worst aveir of all is to talk Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael to Goyim. And Jews always were so careful. Sunday, was it Sunday or Friday? In the Haaretz, there was an article with a picture. The grandfather of Lenin was Jewish. And his son was Jewish. Father and son both converted to Christianity. And they had a picture of a letter that had been sent by Lenin's Zayde to the Tsar, written in Yiddish, telling the Tsar that the Jewish people hate you and they're rebelling against you. We're talking about, it's a frightening story. I have it there in the house. I didn't know what to do with myself. Mishumodin brought a Lenin to the world. His Zayde was on his deathbed when he converted to Christianity. He didn't want to die Jewish. He had lived in one Jewish community and he got into a fight with the people of the community. He moved to Zhytomyr and he died in Zhytomyr after living there many years at odds with the Jewish community. He hated the Jewish community. And he wrote, there were not one letter, there were many letters that he wrote attacking the Jewish community to the Tsar and in Yiddish. And unfortunately, that I consider the worst aveir of our time. But lahavdil elef alfei alafim havdalos from Elio, the Rosh Hashanah simply doesn't want to hear from a Navi who says, ki ozu britcho, they have forsaken your covenant. So the Medrash says, ulai, maybe your covenant, my covenant? Jews have not broken the covenant with me. Oh no, they haven't. Oh no, they haven't. Of course, one of the relationships between the Sedra and Haftorah is the fact that Eliyahu, like Pinchas, is a kanoi, he's a zealot. The same words are used about Pinchas at the beginning of the Sedra as is used about by Eliyahu himself. There is, of course, the Medrash that says Eliyahu zeh Pinchas. Eliyahu is, in fact, Pinchas. That, of course, is only good according to the Medrash that says that Eliyahu was a Kohen. There are two other opinions in the Medrash, and I have all those Medrashim on the other side. We'll see what we can get to. There are different opinions as to what tribe he came from. But there is an opinion that says that he was a Kohen, and if so, he was a Kohen, so there's a Medrash that says Eliyahu Zeh Pinchas. The Medrash can be understood either that the personality of Eliyahu is the personality of Pinchas, or in fact, Eliyahu and Pinchas are one and the same person. There is, of course, the Medrash that says the two spies that came to Rachav. One of them is hidden by Rachav, by the flax that's put over. What about the other one? The only one that had to be covered with the flax was Kaleb ben Yefuna, because he was a human being. The other one was Pinchas Eliyahu, who just, pulled a vanishing act. Take a look on the other side. At the he wasn't who? Who? Yahushua sent the Meraglim to the... He was the one who sent them. The two people he sent were Kaleb and Pinchas. Now, I have down at the bottom of the page what the Art Scroll Chumash says, which I think is common wisdom. The Midrashim cite at least three opinions regarding the tribal descent of Elijah the prophet. He is described as a Gadite, that is from the tribe of Gad, or a Benjaminite, which is from the tribe of Binyamin, or a Kohen. Additionally, various sources identify Elijah as Pinchas, either as being one and the same person, both lived extremely long lives, or as the embodiment of the principles which Pinchas was blessed with my covenant of peace. In either case, it seems clear that the nexus... I always need, when I read Art Scroll, I always need a dictionary, nexus, I don't know, nexus, it sounds like a car. What, there's a nexus, a Lexus? A Lexus, okay, so I don't get my... I don't have to know everything, That the nexus between the Seder and the Haftorah is the shared trait of zealotry in safeguarding the nation's loyalty to its God. Whether it was Pinchas who bravely went after an Israelite prince and a Moabite princess, or Eliyahu who took on King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel, each was unstinting and unflinching in protecting the nation from the inroads that idolatry had been making into the Israelite camp and from the consequences of that idolatry's treachery. All right, okay? Let me take you... by the way, I have four medrashim here, and to give you a basic insight into what each one of the medrashim is talking about, number one, so I have another number one, from what tribe is Elio? That first paragraph from the medrash talks about where Elio came from. I want to take a little bit of look at number two. That's a pretty long one, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I just want to give you the general idea. The similarities between Moshe and Eliyahu. Zeu Shomer, number two. Zeu Shomer HaKosev Ubenovi Helo Hashem Et Yisrael Mimitzchayim Ubenovi Nishmar. God brought up the Jewish people from Israel, from Mitzchayim, with a Navi, and a Navi took care of them. So the Medrash says Ubenovi Helo Hashem Zeh Moshe Ubenovi Nishmar Zeh Eliyahu Zal. Now, you have to understand something. I remember the first time I was in Eretz Yisrael, it was 1955. I was a very little boy. Very. And I ended up in Be'er Sheva, and Be'er Sheva was mamish like... What was a classic Western border town? I don't know, Death Valley? Mamish, the end of the earth. Was a little small town, and guys were riding around on horses with shooting irons, and there was even a sign on the main street that said, from here and further you have to go with neshek, with weapons. So I came into a shul. I didn't have a night place where to sleep that night. I came with a friend. We didn't have a place to sleep. We went to the jail, and we asked them to... Could we sleep here? There was no place where to sleep. So they said, no, you can't wait. This is not... This is a jail, you understand? So me and my friend said, we're going to hit each other. So maybe you could... Anyway, they didn't want to listen to nothing. We ended up... don't ask. I don't want to tell you, some kind of a flop house. In the middle of the night, a guy turns over... in the room, and I said, big knife like this, an Arab with a big knife. I ran out of there, and we ended up in a shul, and they have a Kisei Shel Eliyahu Zal. So in those days, what do you mean Zal? How do you say Zuchreina Levracha on Eliyahu? That had to say about people who died. Till it occurred to me, Eliyahu is Zochor Latov. The Zal by Eliyahu does not mean of blessed memory, but the one who is remembered for good. So when it says Eliyahu Zal over here, whole different story. So the Medrash begins by saying, these two people carry Klal Yisrael, Moshe and Eliyahu. Atomotze, Shnei Nevi'im Amdol Yisrael, there are two prophets that arose to Israel, Mishifto Shel Levi, from the tribe of Levi. This big medrash clearly holds that Eliyahu is from the tribe of Levi, and he is therefore a Kohen. Moshe Rishon, ve'Eliyahu Acharon, u'shnehem goalim et Yisrael b'shlichut. Two, both of them are the messengers of God. Who's the ultimate goel? Hine, anochi sholeach lachem, es Eliyahu anovi zochor latov. Who was the first Goel? Moshe. Who will be the ultimate Goel? Eliyahu. Eliyahu will be the ultimate Goel. Moshe Goalami Mitzrayim, Va'ato Lecho Ve'eshlochacho El Paro, Ve'eliyahu La'atid Lavo. Eliyahu is going to be the one who will bring us redemption. Hinei Anochi Shalech Lechemet Eliyahu Anavi. The very end of Tanakh, the end of Sefer Malachi. Behold, God says, I'm going to send Eliyahu Anovi lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol v'hanora, before the coming of the great day. Moshe go'olam mitzchayim tchila od lo chozru v'nishtabdu mitzchayim ve'eliyahu kishi yigal otam min harviyit. Moshe, when he redeemed them from Mitzrayim, but then they were enslaved over the centuries, over the millennia, time and time again. But Eliyahu is going to redeem them from the fourth. What's the fourth? In Daniel, he describes the Arba Malchut, the four animals that describe the four exiles of the Jewish people, Bavel, Paras and Madai, Yavon, and then Edom. And our long Golus is the Golus of Edom. Od einam chozrim umishtabdim elochuat olamim. Eliyahu is going to bring ultimate redemption. Never will Jews be again enslaved. Atomotze shemoshe Eliyahu shovim zelizem. Moshe and Eliyahu are equal to one another. Lechol davar. Do you hear what the Medrash is saying? In all respects, Moshe and Eliyahu. By the way, this is leading me someplace very, very important. Moshe and Eliyahu are equal in all things. Moshe Navi v'Eliyahu Navi. One, Moshe is a prophet and Eliyahu is a prophet. Moshe is called Ishu Lekim, the man of God, and Eliyahu is called Ishu Lekim. Moshe Ololamala. Moshe went heavenward. Eliyahu Ololamala. And Eliyahu went heavenward. Shenema Fayehi Bahalot Hashem et Eliyahu. The Pasuk later is going to say when God takes Eliyahu heavenward. Moshe Horag et Mitzvi. V'Eliyahu Horag et Chiel. Moshe killed the Mitzri, and Eliyahu killed Chiel. Chiel was the fellow who built Yericho. And there was a prohibition on building Yericho. Shenema v'yesham v'abal v'yama, that's a whole story. Moshe nitkalkel al yedei isha, shenema kiren li v'yochalechem, a woman gave him to eat, the daughters of Yisro. V'eliyahu nitkalkel al yedei hatzorfit, Eliyahu was fed by the woman of Tzarfit Shedema. Likhono li pat lechem, please give me a piece of bread. Moshe barach mipnei Paro, ve'Eliyahu barach mipnei Yizebel. Moshe flees from Paro, Eliyahu flees from Yizebel. Moshe barach ubala be'er, Moshe fled and he came to a well. Eliyahu barach ubala be'er, and he came to a well. Shedema v'yovo be'er. Shava, he came to Be'er Shava. Moshe Oma, in Kamos Kolodom, Yemusid Ela, Ve'eliyahu said, Chaya Shem Imiya Talumata. You know, I can keep going through, you know, maybe we'll go a little bit more. Moshe, it says, Vayavar Hashem Alponov. We say that time and time again in Slichas Vayavar Hashem Amarav Vayikra Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun, and over here in the Haftorah V'Hinei Hashem Oveh, the Haftorah we have, and God is passing by. God is not in the wind. God is not in the in the terrible noise. God is not the fire. Vayishma et hakol. By Moshe it says, and he heard the voice, and by Elio it says, V'Hinei Elov, to him comes the voice. Moshe brought all of Israel before God to Har Sinai. Eliyahu gathered them all to Har Carmel. Moshe is the one who removed idolaters when he came down from the mountain and he sees that the Jewish people have made an egel. He calls on Milah Shem Eli, go through the camp and kill them. And Eliyahu is the one who destroys the prophets of Baal on Har Carmel. Moshe kinei Milah Shem Eli ve'Eliyo kinei shinema ve'yomre Eloi cholham gishuna Eli. All right, we can keep going. We can keep going. Huh? This is Yalkut Shimoni. Right on the pasuk, Medrash Yalkut Shimoni. So, now I want to, I have a lot to say, but I want to get to main point, Chiddush. So I said the Mefarshim, here you had what Artscroll says. I mean, it's fine, most of the Mefarshim say that, that the relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah is the idea that, yes, Eliyahu is either Pinchas, or Eliyahu is like Pinchas. Pinchas is zealous, Eliyahu is zealous. What preceded at the end of last week's Sedra is similar to what precedes the beginning of this Haftorah. But you know, I always have one problem. I think it's a good problem. I like the problem. I find it difficult to accept that a Haftorah is related to one particular incident in a Sedra. I feel that the Haftorah has to have a far broader encompassing connection to the Sedra. If we say because Elio is Pinchas and Pinchas Elio, all right, that's fine, it's wonderful, it's great. There's no question about it that that's a relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah, but that's not the whole story. I'll tell you what I think the whole story is. There's something that happens in the very center of the very center of the Sedra, the middle. It's a long Sedra, Pinchas. It's a long Sedra. There's something that happens in the middle of the Sedra. And what happens in the middle of the Sedra really raises a question about the whole name of the Sedra. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God and he says, God, appoint a man on this congregation. He wants to make sure that the torch is going to be passed. He knows that his days on earth are limited. Who's going to take over after me? And he says to God, I want you to appoint Elokei HaRuchos. You know how many different opinions there are by Klal Yisrael. You know how many winds and spirits there are. You have to have somebody who's able to relate to them all. You need an unusual personality who is going to be able to lead these people. We would have thought, Parshas Pinchas, there's a man of great courage who did an awesome and terrifying act on behalf of God. The next leader of the Jewish people should be Pinchas. That's not God's response. You know what God's response is? Yehoshua, wait a minute. I'll tell you the truth. We forgot about Yehoshua for the last 38 years. In 38 years, we haven't heard a word from him. He was the one that Moshe Rabbeinu sent out to fight off the sneak attack of Amalek. Vayomer Moshe Yehoshua, at the end of Parshas Bishlach, Moshe says to Yehoshua, Bechar lono anoshim, choose men, but say he lochein ba'amalek and go wage war with Amalek. I'm going to be at the top of the mountain. A year later, he was one of those who did not fall into the trap of the Meraglim, Yoshua and Kalev. But 38 years have passed. I mean, if we wouldn't really know a few psukim around here and there, we wouldn't even know what he did. You know, he went out on pension, he was retired. What was he doing? Where was he? Now, in the choice of who's to be the leader, it's Yoshua and not Pinchas. You know why it's not Pinchas? With all of the heroism, with all of the courage of Pinchas, leadership of the Jewish people does not come as a result of one great act of Mesiras Nefesh. Leadership of the Jewish people is something that has to be earned over a long, long time. It doesn't come as a result of one great moment in the sun. You know where Yoshua was all of these years? He was in the Beis Medrash of Moshe. He was kvetching a bank. See? He was there. You know what it meant? A woman has tzavos and she comes into the Beis Medrash and she needs to talk things off her heart. You know who's there? Yoshua. A little kid is having trouble with Chumash and Rashi. He has to find somebody who's going to help him. Goes to the Beis Medrash of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know who's there? Kid knew. The little boy knew. Yoshua. Always there. How is he described? He's Meshores Moshe. Va'nar Yehoshua Meshores Moshe lo yomish mitoch ho'el. For 38 years, he was always ready and available for any member of the Jewish people. It's a long time. 38 years, he got to know the tzaddas. He got to know the aspirations, the needs. He knew Klal Yisrael just by sitting in the tent of Moshe. The leadership of Klal Yisrael must go not to the one who has this great one moment act of courage, great as it may be. Zealousness of the highest order of a positive nature, but at the end of the day, zealousness still remains zealousness. While it may be good under the circumstances of the Seder, it's not good in all other relationships between a leader and his people. So here it sort of is, it's really like somebody's, a dark horse is being picked who's going to be the leader of the Jewish people. Now, let me show you. It means, really, the most significant event in Parshas Pinchas is the torch is being passed. And the torch is being passed from Moshe to Yehoshua. Ah! Look at the last pasuk in the Haftorah. Vayoshov me'acharov, vayikach es tzemet habokar, vayizbacheu, ubichlei habokar bishlom habosov, vayitelom vayochelu, vayokom, vayelech, acharei Eliyahu, vayishorsehu, and he served him. That's the description of Yehoshua. Now wait a minute. If Moshe and Eliyahu are the same, pray tell me, is there much difference between Yehoshua and Elisha? Otoa davar. Yehoshua and Elisha. God is the one who, our Savior. Ko Yoshiacha. Just as in the Seder, the torch of leadership goes from Moshe to Yehoshua. In the Haftorah, leadership goes from Eliyahu to Elisha. To Elisha. We haven't heard about Elisha. Fact is, we never heard about Elisha until we came to this pasuk. And what's the greatness of Elisha? Vayishorsehu. What Yahushua is to Moshe, Elisha is to Elio. And the fact is that the great accomplishments of Elisha are going to outshine by far what Eliyahu was able to do. But there's one thing about Eliyahu. There's one thing about Eliyahu. And here I'll just end with one thing that's extremely significant and I believe of contemporary relevance. And one of these days, if I, we have a chance and I may even discuss it at great length, because I think it's something that needs to be said. There's a beautiful, beautiful question that's asked by Reb Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev. Reb Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev asks, very often the Gemara, Talmud, when there is a question that's unresolved, so the Gemara says, Teku. Teku. And Teku, we were taught since we were little children, Teku means not as they use it over here when it's a ball game or whatever games they play in this country. Teku, if it's 0-0, you understand, that's Teku. Teku in the Gemara, we were taught, means Tishbi. Eliyahu Tishbi yitareitz kushyot va'abayot. Tishbi, Eliyahu Novi will answer all questions. Loss of love, we don't know the answer. So Eliyahu will answer the questions. So Rabbi Levi Yisrael Baraditchev asked the Gevaldik Akasha, in time to come we'll have Moshe. We have Moshe Rabbeinu, let's go straight to the Rebbe. What do we have to go to Eliyahu Novi? Moshe Rabbeinu will answer the questions. So he says there's a very big difference between Moshe and Eliyahu. Moshe died and Eliyahu didn't. Moshe died, then he's out of it. Psak can only be by somebody who's living, somebody who knows what's going on. You have to be tuned in to the here and the now. There's a very great significance to this. And I'm going to say it in one line, and it's going to need a great deal of elaboration. There are questions at every stage in Jewish history. There are serious questions that we have to deal with. One cannot, for example, in certain segments of our community, one will quote Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, what Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, Gon Olam, Hashem Yimkom Tomo, killed by the Nazis, what Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman said in 1935. What Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman said in 1935 may be totally insignificant in 2005. Now I'm going to take you the next step. I become unnerved, when either in a speech or in an article, somebody talks about my Rebbe and mentor, the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik. What Rav Soloveitchik may or may not have said 35 years ago may be absolutely, totally irrelevant and insignificant today. Different times, different situations, the responsibility of a Rav or a Posek is, look at the here and now and you make the decision. There isn't a man living on earth today who can say with any certainty what Rav Soloveitchik would have said today. No one can't do that. We have to carry the burden ourselves. The Gemara says, and Mi'etz Hashem, one of these days I'm going to learn a very significant Gemara. Ein lo l'dayin el ma'a she'ein of rose, you have to be able to see. Can't judge on the basis of some kind of an expression of Das Torah from 30, 40, 50 years ago, maybe totally irrelevant to the present situation. If Rav Soloveitchik said then, you have to trust generals like you trust doctors, what about 35 years later when you find out that the doctor left 1,000 patients dead on the surgeon's table? and the generals have left 5,000 dead that they've done nothing about. Maybe the Rav would have said, you can't depend on this general. You can't depend on that doctor. That's what Rav Levi Yitzchak of Adichiv is saying. Moshe cannot paskin. We need Eliyahu who's been alive. Eliyahu who's been involved with Klal Yisrael all these years, yes, and who came to every bris. He's the one who can advise us in paskin those shailas. There's an awesome responsibility to take a look at a situation at any moment in history and come up with an intelligent conclusion. And even if you have to run the risk, maybe, of making a shtickle, a mistake. But that's your responsibility. Can't run away from it. That's Eliyahu. That's Eliyahu. Moshe can't do that. That's a powerful word from Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibaditchev. But in some, I see the relationship between the Haftorah and the Sedra not limited to the first 3-4 psukim of the Sedra. I always have difficulty buying that. Great deal of difficulty. It has to be the heart of the whole Sedra. That's what's amazing about the Sedra. It's Parshas Pinchas. But you know who the major figure of Parshas Pinchas is? Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun is the one who's going to take them into to Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, do you know who understands this better than anybody else? Pinchas. Pinchas will follow orders. Sends him to be a spy to Yericho. He goes as a spy. No covered masses over here. By the way, he listens to Yehoshua because he's going to be part of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. No more need be said. But anyway, I think it's not a bad approach to the understanding of the Haftorah. And all you have to do is just remember it now for 3 years. And then again for 3 years. And then again for 3 years. And again for 3 years. And then 21. Gesundheit. Okay.